Today's shir is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Ayin Hay, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Ayin Dalid Amid Beis, five lines from the bottom. Teaches us the Gemara Amar Huna, Shchimra Shegdish Kal Nechasov. Again, we speak here about a Shchimra, as we've spoken so many times in our Masechta. A Shchimra was Magdish all of his assets. The Amar, but then, after he was magdish all of his assets, he said, "Mana l'plani biyadei." A mana of those assets are really now mine. A mana of those assets, I owe to somebody else. And since I owe that mana to somebody else, that Hegdish can't get them. So now the question is, how do we look at this situation? Do we think that maybe this person is lying, and maybe what he has done is created a conspiracy with this person whom he says owes that money. And what he's trying to say is that he has that money belongs to him. We'll give that individual that money, and after we give the individual that money, they'll split it, the shchim around that person. Or do we accept what he says? So says the Gemara Chazaka. There's a Chazaka that Ein Adam Oisa Knunya. A person doesn't make these kind of conspiracies al Hegdish regarding Hegdish. There are Rishonim that discuss, is this Gemara a raya to a question that we discussed earlier in our Masechta? We know, as we've been discussing so extensively in our Masechta, that Divrei Shchimra Kitsum Musurim Dami, a Shchimra has very interesting halachas and very unique halachas. One of the most unique halachas we've been discussing when we speak about a Shchimra is that a Shchimra, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps and he gets better, then the halach is he can retract what he said. And the question the Gemara asked is that only if the Shchimra gave someone a gift or whatever, that if Baruch Hashem he gets better, he could go back on it? Or does that also apply to Hegdish? So it seems that our Gemara should be a proof that he can't retract on Hegdish. Because if that, Taisus points out, for if the halacha were that a Shchimra could back out of Hegdish, so then of course he could say this. Because since the Shchimra always has the right to back out, so if he wanted to back out of the Hegdish, he could have just backed out of the Hegdish. And if he would have backed out of the Hegdish, then he wouldn't be held, there wouldn't be any issue. The fact that the Gemara had to come up with this question is a raya that under normal circumstances, he can't back out of Hegdish. So Tosfos answers that our Gemara is not speaking about a case where he was Magdish, these assets, when he was a Shchimra. Because there the halacha may very well be that if he could back out, he could certainly say that a mana is owed to somebody else. Rather, here we're speaking about that he was magdish these assets when he was still healthy, and then he became a shchimra. In that case, everybody would agree that the halacha is that he could that he can't back out. But now we're asking, do we believe what he said? Because people wouldn't talk about Hegdish that way. He wouldn't say that he owes money if it weren't true. Maskler Rav Nachman asked the Gemara. So the Gemara said that the reason we believe him, because the Gemara introduced a new concept. And that is the concept that Ein Adam Oseh Knunya al Hegdish. People aren't going to do this kind of thing when it comes to Hegdish. Maskler Rav Nachman, to which Rav Nachman asks, V'chi Adam Oseh Knunya Bonov, what about one's own children? And the Gemara quotes Alocha. The Rav Shmuel Darmi Tavaya, Rav Shmuel taught us, Shchimra Shama Manab Laplani Biyadi. The question is, the Shchimra said, I owe somebody money. Now, under normal circumstances, that money would be going to the Shchimra's Yarshim after he passes away. And here he says that I owe somebody money. So they say, Amar, if the way he expressed his obligation was by saying Tanu Noison we give that money to that person. But if he didn't use the word tenu, ain't nice then. The halacha is that we don't give it. So we see, Alma, what do we see? That there's a new halacha. So Adam Asri Shloil has Bias Bonav. A person doesn't want that his children should think that they're very wealthy. And the way he does it is he says he doesn't want people to think that his children are wealthy. So the way what he does is, he says, it looks like I have a lot of assets, but really, I don't have a lot of assets. I owe that money to other people. But it doesn't mean that he really owes the money. The Rabbeinu Gershom says that part of what this person is trying to avoid is an ayin hara. The people will say that this person passed away and his children now inherited a lot of money. So we see that there's a concept that people sometimes say these kind of things, even though they're not true, for other reasons. So ask the Gemara, why don't we say in our Gemara that the halacha that we began our shiur with, that when this person said that all of his assets should go to Hegdish, what he meant was that Adam Asu Shleila has Bias Atzmai. He doesn't want people to think that he's a wealthy person. And the way he does it is by saying, well, I owe money. And as I saw, the Rashash explains that he doesn't want that after he passes away, people will say, well, if he was so wealthy, he never gave tzedakah while he was alive. And the answer will be is because he owed money, to other people. There's a very interesting machloikis, sma and shach. The Gemara says that the person who said, I owe, if he didn't say tenu, if he said, I owe money to other people, we say he really didn't owe money. What he was trying to accomplish was, shloila asbias bonov, that people shouldn't think that he's wealthy, that his children are wealthy. So asks the sma, or points out the sma, that this halacha is only by children. By children, the Gemara is introducing a new consideration. The Adam Asi Shloil Asbi Asbanov, one of the considerations of a father is that people shouldn't think that his children are wealthy. What about if it's not his children? He doesn't have children, and they are other people as Yorshim. Would we say the same concept of Adam Asi Shloil Asbi Asbanov? The Sma says, if we follow the Svara of the Gemara, the Svara of the Gemara is only applicable by a son, by sons, by children, not by other Yarshim. Shach disagrees. And the Shach says, we don't find in our Gemara making that type of differentiation. Since we don't find in the Gemara that we're making such a differentiation, there is no reason to say that there is such a halacha. So we see that we have a concept of Adam Asu Shloil Asbias Atzmai. Why would we say that it belongs to Hegdish? Why would we say that we believe what he said? Answers the Gemara, Kikamar Rav Huna Hasam. When did Rav Huna say regarding Hegdish? That says the Gemara, the Nakat Shtara, that the Shchimara admitted that he owes the money to a person holding a shtar. And since the Shchimara is saying that I owe the money, and since this person is holding a shtar that he holds the money, that's why we believe him. Mechlal suggests the Gemara, the Rav Shmuel, that says that he owes money to somebody else. As long as he didn't say tenu, we don't accept what he said. Speaking in a case, the Leidnaka Shtara, that person, it doesn't have a shtar versus the Shchimara. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way, or that's the case the Rav and Shmuel are referring to, why is the halacha Amma Tenu? That if the Shchimara had used a stronger language, and the Shchimara had said Tenu Noisnin, but ask the Gemara, if this loiva, this person that he claims he owes the money to, doesn't have a shtar, so it's a milva apeh, it's only going to be a milva apeh. and ask the Gemara, have we not learned the Rav Shmuel Damer Tavayu, Milva Peh, and a Gavir Lemina Yashim and a Lakuchas? So why would the Yashim have to pay it? Elam Rav Nachman, Edivi Edi, in all the cases that we've been speaking in our Shia today, both in the case where the Shchimra was Magdish all of his assets, and now he says he owes somebody money, and both in the case, and in the case of Rav Shmuel, where the Shchimra's assets are going to go to his Yorshim, and he agrees, but he admits that he says that I owe somebody money. Both cases must be the Nakat Shtara, that the person to whom he says he owes money to has a Shtar. Loikasha, and how do we reconcile these two halachas? Ha, in the case that Rav Huna speaks about, that we believe what the Shchimra said, even if he didn't use the word Tanui, because we're speaking about Mekuyim, the Shtar we're speaking about is a Shtar Mekuyim. And since it's a Shtar Mekuyim, it's much stronger. Ha, the case that Rav and Shmuel referred to, where the Shchimra says, I owe somebody money, and we're not ready to accept what he says, even though the Shchimra is saying, I owe him the money, and even though this person is holding a Shtar, it's talking about a Shtar, the Loi Mekuyim. And therefore, Amar, if the Shchimra used the word Tanu, that Tanu is the equivalent of Kaim L'Shtaira. That's saying that Tanu is the equivalent of Mikaim B'Shtar, and that's why the person will be able to collect. Loi Amar, but if he didn't use the word Tanu, L'Kaim L'Shtara, and therefore, even though there's other persons holding a Shtar, and even though the Shchimra says, I indeed owe the money, we have the concept Adam Asa Shloi Lasbi as Banav that may be the reason not to accept what he says. So we see from here, says the Rajba, that there's a new way of being Mekayim Shtar. Whenever we speak in our Shiurim about Kiyum Shtar, we know that the way Kiyum Shtar is accomplished is by having the signatures verified. Here we're learning that you don't necessarily have to have the signatures physically verified. The fact that he says that the person says I owe the money, and he also has there's a shtar, and he says tanu is the equivalent of kiyum. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Shchimra Shamar Mana LePlani Biyadi. The Shchimra had told us that I owe somebody money, and now after he passes away, Amar Yisayim Pranu. The Yisayim said, we paid up the money that our father said he owed. The loch is namanim. But if the father had used the words, again, as we just finished learning, the way he expresses himself is makes a dafkamin in halacha. But if he said, tenu mana l'plani, and after he said, tenu mana l'plani, amra Yisayim peranu, the Yisayim said, we paid it up, ain't namanim. Ask the Gemara, klapalaya. The logic is just opposite. Ifcha mistabra. Logically, we should say just the opposite. Om tenu mana, since if the father used the word tenu mana, and as we just finished learning, when you use the words tenu mana, it's a very strong admission. Since it's a very strong admission, kiven the pask avula milsa, the father was very firm in this obligation. So there, ikilamein with the pari, we could say that they paid up, that they realized how serious this obligation was, and they fulfilled what their father said, and they paid it up. However, in a case where they said, manal plani biyadi, so as we just finished learning, that isn't such a strong admission of owing money. And therefore, asked the Gemara, kim delay pasuk avu and lamilsa, that the father wasn't that firm, so there we should be concerned, ikilameima delay pari. But the Gemara just said the opposite. Eliyat mahachiyatma. Indeed, says the Gemara. Shchimra shama mana pleni biyadi. If the way the Shchimra expressed itself was by saying mana pleni biyadi, and then Amri Yisayimim chazav amalano abba prati, that our father retracted and he said, I don't owe the money, namanim, they're going to be believed. My tama, what's the halacha? That why is the halach that they have a right to come and change what the Shchimra said? Because the Gemara says it kori mitka. He remembered, the Shchimara remembered that I really didn't owe the money. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, the Shchimara's original admission was a weak admission because he didn't say the word tenu. So since it was a weak admission, he has a right to back off. But, therefore, continues the Gemara, if his original admission of owing the money was expressed through the words of tenu mana l'ploni, and then the Yisrael said, then he said, my father said, Parati, ain't the money. Then he won't believe. And the reason being, then he said, the pari, if the father had indeed paid up, he would have never have used the word tenu. The fact that he used the word tenu is an indication that he was very clear that he owes the money. And since he was very clear that he owes the money, we can't just change his mind. By Rav Shchimara, said that somebody comes to Shchimara and says that he owes the money, and there were Edom there, and Vahoida, and he admits that he owes the money. Tzarech Leima Ata Edai, in order to be considered that there was admission in front of Edom, does he have to say Atam Edom? Then we're going to learn a Mitzvah Shem in Masechet Sanhedrin, on Daf Chav Tes Amar Aleph, that in order to be considered Edom, the person who's making this admission has to use the words Atam Edai, because otherwise we say that Adam Asur L'Shatos, we could say somebody came over to me and said I owe him money. And even if there were other people there witnessing this dialogue, but I had not appointed them as Edom, I could say that I'm just Adam Asur L'Shatos. A person could just say it and he wasn't serious. Or Ein Tzarech L'Mata Edai, Uz D'Alocha, that you don't have to say Atam Edai. So the way the Shach learns the Gemara is that, as we explained, that the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin is teaching us, it's only going to be considered, they're only considered Edom when Atam Edai, when he said it in a very strong position. Some take a very clear designation of being Edom. The Sma, the Mabit, seems to take a different approach. He says, as long as it's obvious that this person recognizes that what he's doing is he's admitting in front of Edom, they're Edom. Says Rav, another question. If somebody says, Tzarech Shem Iksuvu, if somebody admits in front of Edom that he owes the money, and the Edom want to record this, do they have to say, does he have to designate them to write it? Again, the halach is that Edom can't just write down, we learned earlier in our Masechet on Daf Mem, that Edom can't just accept upon themselves to write down something they heard unless they were so designated to do. Well, now the Gemara asks the question, Adam Shatav Shas Misa, as we said, under normal circumstances, the Edom could only be considered Edom if they were so designated. The Edom could only write down what they heard if they were so told to do. Otherwise, there's a concern that he wasn't serious, he was just playing a wrong. But do we say that also here when we're talking about a Shchimara? Adam Shat B'Shas Misa, here the person is in such a situation that he's very ill. Or ain't Adam Shat B'Shas Misa, at that point people don't act that way. Says the Gemara Basta Baya, after Rava asked this question, Hada Pashta, ain't Adam Shat B'Shas Misa. When somebody says something and he's in this type of a situation, the halacha is that we don't assume in any way that he was just not being serious. The proof being, says Rava, is because we have halacha that we've learned so many times, Devei Shchimara Kiksuvim K'Masurim Dami, that whatever the Shchimara says that is considered final, which and no kinyan is required, which is a unique halacha that only applies to Shchimara. Why is there this unique halacha that only applies to Shchimara? Because Divrei Shchimara K'Masurim Dami, and we take whatever he says seriously, and we don't in any way assume that he's just Adam Mishat, that he's just not being serious. It says the Mishnah Mavis Chaver B'Shtar, if somebody owes somebody else money and it's a loan that's committed to writing, the halacha is goyvim min nechasim shavadim. As we've discussed many times, that if somebody lends somebody else money, that and if somebody borrows money, his assets are mortgaged, and the halacha is, when are his assets mortgaged? Only if this is a loan that's committed to writing. The Rashbam says that our Mishnah 2 is a raya to a concept that we've discussed many times, and that is that achrayas tar sofer, that if there is no clause in the contract that all of the loiver's assets are mortgaged to a loan, they're mortgaged anyway. And the fact that they were missing, that clause is missing, achrayas, the fact that the clause of achrayas is missing, it's tar sofer, it was a mistake that it wasn't put in. Our Mishnah, says the Rashbam, is a raya to that. Because, of course, our Mishnah is not speaking about a case where the clause is there explicitly. For if the case of our Mishnah were that the clause is there explicitly, there would be no question that he's obligated. He took that upon himself in this contract. The Mishnah is teaching us that if it's a contract that's committed to writing, the halacha is that he's obligated, and the reason he's obligated is because there's a chrayis, as long as it's a claw, it's a shtar, it's written, as long as it was a milva b'shtar. And the reason it's this is the halacha is because a milva b'shtar has a kol. A person who bought an asset on which there is a lien, and the lien is a lien that was created through a milva b'shtar, is something that he should have and could have known. And when you buy that type of asset, you're taking the risk that it may be taken away because of that existing mortgage. But therefore, says the Mishnah, if it was done through Edom, if it was only Edom, but there wasn't a milva b'shtar, they're just Edom who were there when the loan took place, then the halacha is, goyvim min nechasim nechayrim, you could go after the loiver's assets, but you can't go after assets that he had sold away. Continues the Mishnah. Haitzilov, we've learned that there's another way of creating an obligation, and that's with a written IOU. It says the Mishnah, Haitzilov, if the Malva produced a document, Ksav Yodai, there's a document that says, Shuchayvloi, that the Loiva owes him money, Goivim and Chosim and Echayrim, that too, says the Mishnah, does not have the same halacha as a milva b'shtar, and since it doesn't have the same halach as a milva b'shtar, you can't go after nechasim mishubadim. And Ritva reminds us that it doesn't, that's only if the signature is on the middle or the bottom of the page. If it's on top of the page, we say that maybe he just signed his name for identification purpose and it was misused. There's a very interesting discussion amongst the Paiskim. How does a halachic IOU look? Does a halachic IOU mean that it says that I, whoever the loiva is, owe you, whoever the malva is, whatever sum of money? That is the definition of an IOU, and then his name is signed below that statement. Or does a halachic IOU be valid if all we have is that the loiva writes, and we can recognize that it's the loiva's handwriting, I owe you whatever sum of money, whoever the malva is, and it doesn't say in the IOU a signature. It just says in his handwriting that he owes the money. We're speaking about that type of a document, and the question is, does it require a signature, or just that statement is enough? Says the Mishnah further. We've been learning about an Arev. So says the Mishnah, Arev hayotz lachachitum shtaris, that there's a guarantor in the document, but the guarantor, and the Pasha Peshat in the Gemara is that there's a document that says that I owe money to you, but the Aloiva and the Malva. Then we have signatures. And after the signatures, there's a new statement that the Arif owes money. So that doesn't have the same strength as a regular Arif. And therefore, the halach is, you could only go after assets that the guarantor has, but not after any assets that he had sold. Says the Mishnah, you could only collect from the chasam b'nei chayrim. Amalei ben Anas. So ben Anas said to him, and the Mashah points out that this is Rav Shimon ben Anas that we have throughout Shas. But over here, he's only called ben Anas because this story took place before he received smicha. So at that point, he was only called ben Anas. That the Arav is not responsible at all. To which Rav Shmuel asked him, Lama, why is that the case? Amrloi, and Rav Benanis answered, Harei, hachaynik is echad b'chok. If somebody is walking in the street, and he sees malva loiva, and he sees that the malva is really going after the loiva to pay him back the money he owes. Vamaloi, and he tells this person witnessing this terrible situation, says, Hanachloi, leave the loiva alone, v'ani etanloch, and I'll pay you, just leave him alone. So says the Gemara Potter, that Arav, that guarantor will not be chayiv. Why? Shloi alam nosa helveyu. The only reason the malva, when he lent the money to the loiva, did not lend the money because of this Arav. The Arav wasn't involved at that time. Here too, we could say that the only reason this person accepted upon himself to be an Arav is because he saw this terrible situation, but not that he really meant to be an Arav. So too, if we see an Arav signed on a document after the signature, we don't assume that that was part of the deal. He only signed because of the situation. Says the Mishnah, Eleazar Arav Shuchayev, who is the Arav that is responsible? When he says, Helveyu, when the Arav says to the Malva, before the loan took place, Helveyu v'ani noisenlach, lend the money and I'm taking responsibility if you don't get paid. Because now the Arav will be Chayev. Shekein al menasa Helveyu, the entire loan only took place because this person took a part in himself. Says the one of Amr Bishmol, Haroitz Shiachim, if somebody wants to become a Talmud Chacham, Yasek B'dinei Mamnas. He should learn B'dinei Mamnas. Shein L'cha Mekzoya B'Torah. There is no part of the Torah. Mekzoya means a corner. This little corner, not such a little corner, but this corner of B'dinei Mamnas, Yos Mehem, that is greater than them. Vein K'mayim HaNavaya, that they are like a spring that keeps on giving. There's so much to learn when we learn about B'dinei Mamnas. V'Haroitz Shiachim B'dinei Mamnas, and somebody who wants to learn Dina Mamanis, where is the place to properly learn Dina Mamanis? The halach is that Yisham Shashirin Ben Nanis, the person to learn it from is by Shimon Ben Nanis. And what we learn from here is, I saw that the tachlis is to understand what is the halacha. And to learn halacha lemaisa, to learn the dinei mamonos, to know what is a person is supposed to do. The Shem Shmuel says, what makes the dinei mamonos so important? So he says, in most of the cases that we learn in our Masechta, when we speak about dinei mamonos, there's a din Torah that's taking place between two Jews. And we don't know who is right and who's wrong. To be able to paskin between two Jews and know to decide who is wrong and who is right, that needs to be a person who's a great chacham to make sure that the Jew who deserves the money should be the Jew that keeps the money. The Chasam Sofer points out that the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph Omer Aleph, when the Gemara speaks about the Pasuk, of Vahaya Munas Itecha, says the Chasam Sofer, the Gemara says Amuna Zusei Dezroim, Yeshuas Zesei De Nezikim, Chachma Zesei De Kachim. So he asks a question. Over there, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos is telling us that Kachim is Chachma. In our Gemara, the Gemara says, Haroit Zalachim Yasik B'dina Mamanis. How do we reconcile these two Ma'amari Chazal? Says the Chasam Sofer that Kachim is indeed Chachma. And he explains the reason why Kachim is Chachma, because unlike the other Masechtas and Shas, he explains, when we learn Kachim, Kachim is based on a lot of Gzeris Akasavs, a lot of Gzeris Shavis, and be able to remember and categorize them, it requires Chachma. But one can't come to that Chachma, he explains, without first learning Nezikim, without learning Dine Mamnis. When somebody has trained his mind, when his mind is trained to learn these Masechtas, that will be the way that he could get to learn Kachim, to get to that Chachma. And I saw that the Mefarshim explained that what a person, in order to be able to be a proper Jew, and a person, a proper observant Jew, what has to be, what he needs to do, is he has to be honest. Everything he eats has to be kosher. Everything that his business dealings, all must be kosher. So what the Gemara is saying here is, if somebody wants to ultimately get to the place of Kachim, if he wants to learn Kachim, first what he needs to do is learn Dine Mamnis. And by learning Dine Mamnis, he'll be able to do what's right. And everything that he has, all the assets that he have, will be assets that he deserves. And therefore, that once the person is a life, that everything he has is an honest life, only such a person can grow, only such a person can grow further and come to Chachma and come to Kachim. The Ben Yoyada says that there are two different types of bodies of water. There's a mikvah, which is a stationary body of water, and there's a mayon. A mayon is a spring that constantly gives forth. He says, when we speak about mamnas, Dine Mamnis are like a mayon. They're giving, the spring forth. One of the concepts that we've learned in our Masechta is that Shud the Dina, that under certain circumstances, the way the halacha is established is by the Dayan paskening that this is the halacha with his own logic. So that's what our Gemara is teaching us. In other Mitzoyas, in other parts of Torah, the way halacha is established, the way halacha is established is by knowing what the halacha is, learning Shas, learning Shulchan Aruch. But when we learn Dinim Mamanis, then the halacha is we have Shud Dedaina, where the Dayan makes that decision. And I saw that the Shvus Yaakov actually adds another point. Whenever we're dealing, as we've dealt with so many times in our Masechta, we speak about the Dayan needing to have the ability to see if who's saying the truth and who's not saying the truth. He said, the Ben Yoyada says that the gematria of the word mammon is the same as the gematria of the word iyun. Iyun means to examine. Dine mammonis require iyun. By kachim, you don't have to use your own logic to make a decision. In other areas of halacha, you need to know what is the halacha. But when we speak about Dine Mamanis, what's required is iyun, for the dayan to make these decisions. And that's what is meant in our Mishnah, that there are mayan hanoveya, that Dine Mamanis are like a spring. It's not just learning, of course, that's the basis, not just learning what it says, but taking the learning that we have learned and applying it, and let it be like a mind that springs forth, that help us develop ourselves in every area of our lives to do what's right. Amu'ula, Dva Torah, Midaraisa, Echamelva B'Shtar, whatever type of loan took place, the halacha is goyva min chas mishabadim. The malva has a right to go after all assets. My tama, what is the reason for such a halacha? Says the Gemara Shibuda Deraisa. When a loiver took upon himself that he owes money, that is a deraisa obligation that all of his assets are subject to that loan. Elo, matam amru. Why have we just learned in our Mishnah the milva aper ain't a goyva element chasav neichayrim that you can't go after the mishbadim? Shem seder the lekuches says the Gemara because we're concerned that the lekuches should not. The mechuchas should not lose out when those assets are taken away from them. So ask the Gemara, if we're so worried about the lekuchas, yochi milv b'shtar nami, this halach should apply by milv b'shtar as well. Answers the Gemara, hasam inu nami avsida navshayu. As we explained when we learned the Mishnah. A milv b'shtar, a milv that's in a document, is well publicized. Since it's well publicized, when I bought an asset from the loiver that there was a lien on, I should have known that there's a lien on that asset. And I know that I'm taking a risk that that asset may be removed from me. And if I still bought it, so that was the risk I knew and the risk I took. And therefore, if the malva comes and has a claim, I'm going to have to give it up. However, when it was a milva al peh, it wasn't something that is publicized. Since it's not a loan that was publicized, I had no way of knowing that there's a lien on the asset that I just bought. And therefore, Chazal, in order to protect me, say that the malva can't go after the asset. Rav Amma, Rav disagrees. And Rav says, he could only go after assets that the loiva has. My Tama, what is the basis for his opinion? Says the Gemara, because he holds Shibud Lav Deraisa. All of my assets don't become obligated with Deraisa. Matam Milv B'Shtar Goyva. So if that's the case, why is the halacha that a malva could go after the Nechasim Mishabadim? Kadesh Loi Tenam Dals Mifnei Lovin. If somebody lends money and he gets a mortgage, but he won't be able to act in that mortgage, nobody will ever want to lend money. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that we're so anxious to protect, to keep people have the ability to lend money and borrow money, so why don't we say the same, but even by milvah peh? Answers the Gemara, hasam las lekola, nobody knew about it, and therefore he has no obligation. We're much more concerned that the person who bought the asset should be protected. When we learned early in our Masechta, the halacha b'char, we learned that a b'char gets pishnayim. He gets a double portion. But we also learned that the halacha is that it's only b'char ashir matzalai. He only gets a double portion and what the father had at the time of death. Anything that the father didn't have at the time of death, it's called roi, it's called not muchzik, and the halacha that the b'char gets pishnayim doesn't apply. Ask the Gemara. So we're saying now the Rabbi holds the Shibud Lav Deraisa. Ask the Gemara, mi amar Rabbi Hachi, amar Rabbi Gavu Karka. If after a father passed away, we learned this Gemara in Daf Kuf Chaf Dalar Mabez. After the father passed away, the father was owed money. If the money that he was owed was paid up in Karka, so that's considered like he had that Karka while he was still alive, and therefore Yeshlo the Bechor is entitled to double portion in that karka. However, Gavu Mas, if the money that was owed to the father was paid in Mas, that's called Roy. It's not considered as if the father had that money while he was alive, and therefore he doesn't get a Pishnayim. So we see that what is obviously the halacha is that Shibud Deraisa, that there's a Shibud on the karka, to the degree that's already considered like it was by the father when he was alive. So, and who said that? Rabbah. So isn't this clearly an indication the rabbah does subscribe to the concept of Shibuda? And if you'll want to answer, Epoch, the rabbah l'ula, dula l'rabbah, and we'll have that rabbah holds Shibuda deraisa, Ula will not hold that way. Says the Gemara, Vama Ula, Ula taught us another halacha. We know that the Gemara throughout Shas speaks, if somebody owes money, or different reasons for owing money, from what type of property can it be collected? And Rav Ula said, Dvatar Midaraisa, if I owe somebody else money, Bal Chayiv, the only asset that he could collect from is from Zaburius. So, but he says that Midaraisa he could collect from Zaburius. Isn't that clearly an indication that Ula says that the Shibuda Midaraisa? Says the Gemara, the way Rav, we're going to have to explain Rabba is Shibuda de Laavdaraisa. For Rabba, so if that's the case, why is the Bechor entitled to Pishnayim in the Karka? If there was no Shibud, why is it considered as if the father was Muchsik in that property? Rabba Tamda B'nai Marava come up. Rabba was explaining the opinion of the B'nai Marava. However, he himself, Loi Svirle, because he does not subscribe to the concept of Shibud Deraisa. Rav Shmuel Damit Tavayu, Malva Peh Enagoy V'loy Min HaYorshim V'loy Min HaLakoychus. Well, again, the Gemara is going into this discussion of what is the halacha about Shibud Deraisa. So Rav Shmuel said, Malva Peh Enagoy V'loy Min HaYorshim V'loy Min HaKuchus, my Tama Shibud Lav Deraisa. Rav Yochanan Rav Shimon Malakosh Damit Tavayu, Malva Peh you can't collect both from everyone. My Tama says the Gemara because Shibuda Deraisa. So Rav and Shmuel had just said, so Rav and Shmuel now on the Mandamrim that hold Shibuda Lav Deraisa. And Mitzvah Shem, as we start tomorrow's shir, the Gemara is going to try to understand that opinion.